Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button and joining us today. Today's title for our podcast is How to Overcome Evil with Good. As with all of our podcasts, you can find more information at edgegodin.com. Our mission here is to champion your human potential in Christ, to champion our human potential in Christ. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that sound like on a day-to-day basis when life is unfolding before you? What specific shifts, choice points, behavioral focuses do we need to work on in order to champion our human potential in Christ? We know that the Holy Spirit is the one behind all positive shift in Christ. We know that less of us, more of Christ, that allows us to experience that championing feeling when we're walking in the Holy Spirit versus walking in the flesh. So today's topic, how to overcome evil with good, is a powerful one in light of what we're seeing unfold before us in real time. We're going to go over the learning objective, which is when you are at the end of listening to this podcast, it's our goal that you learn through a three-step behavioral response to use when evil is taking center stage in your life. You will walk away with a three-step behavioral response. You'll also walk away with an acronym that you use, I'm pretty confident, at least once a day, if not more. And so you'll be able to take this acronym and move forward to remember this three-step behavioral response when evil is taking center stage in your life. So let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, we come before you today. Thank you for waking us up. If you were to cease to think of us, we would cease to exist. Have your way with us today. We are being hijacked on a daily basis. We are being catapulted into fear. Before we know it, fear fuels anger, and then anger fuels behavior, often ugly behavior, that's based on fear. And yet you call us into a peace that passes all human understanding. Remind our mind of what that looks like in real time for us today. The devil only has power. We have power and authority, Lord. In your name, give us the grace to use it today. Fill us with all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can do mighty works in your name today. And whatever plan or scheme the devil has for me today, in Jesus' name, I overturn it and I take back authority for your work in my life. Give us the grace to take back authority for your work in our life today. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the words of our mouth, meditations of our heart, be acceptable in your sight for the edification of the people listening today and for your glory, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So once again, I am joined by the amazing Judy Kennebrew, who I've mentioned before. She is the master coach that coached me up in the work that I do in the world with Sherpa Executive Coaching. She's gifted on so many levels. I'm so blessed to have her joining us again today. Judy, thank you for being in this coaching conversation as the Holy Spirit will guide us.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm excited to be here, actually. I'm excited about what people will leave with, and I'm excited that we'll all have some work to do, always.
Isn't that the truth? There's always a new class to take in Earth School, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Dear Lord, help us to pass it so it doesn't have to swing around again and again.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
So as with the beginning of our podcast, we invite you to, if you have your Bible, to pull that out so that you can feel it, you can lean into it, and you can follow along as we're going through the scriptures. The scriptures will also be posted, as you'll notice with other podcasts, underneath this podcast, along with a one sheet that you can download to capture your learnings. You'll have the opportunity to reflect What are your 1 to 3 things that the Holy Spirit has for you today? Be attentive. Lean in. This is a conversation that holds the opportunity for a very powerful shift that will offer you and me the opportunity to become more like Jesus today than yesterday, to respond like Jesus would respond. Remember the old WWJD? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So we're going to begin. I'm going to start it off sharing a few specific steps for you to explore moving forward. I'm going to share with you the acronym that I was talking about in the introduction of this podcast. If you have a pen, paper, write this down. You'll be able to remember it anyway. I'm pretty confident you will. It's LOL. LOL. LOL, LOL, laugh out loud. We all use the LOL, right? So let's just say God has a sense of humor, because as he put this specific LOL acronym, and he actually gave me the specifics first and then asked me to look a little closer. And that's the humor of God. He takes something that we're reflecting on and using on a daily basis, and he gives it that divine infusion of his truth. LOL, let's lean in. The first L stands for listen. And this again, this is a three-step behavioral response when evil is taking the center stage. Listen. That's the first step. When evil starts to pop up and fling you into fear, which results in anger, anger is always backed by a fear, usually a fear that someone will take something from you, someone will dilute something you believe in, someone will hijack you from your truths or threaten you in some way. It's being cornered. When we are cornered, we only have three responses: fight, flight, or freeze. It's referred to as the primal brain. I call it animal planet, because you're cornered. You ever cornered a wild animal? I don't recommend it, because the response is freeze, fight, or run. And if it's fight, you can be in trouble. So listening is a response. That is a conscious behavioral response. What does listening mean for you? When it comes to hearing and responding to the voice of God, let's turn to the scriptures. John 10:27-30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They listen to me, and I know them. They follow me, and I know them. In the scripture, the first step is hearing. Hearing the voice of God in the midst of being spun. Now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when you see a circumstance outside of you and you see it as a threat to your sense of safety, and it could be a safety in your positionality in life, which is what we're seeing happen around us today. In 125 thousandths of a second, your body will flip into the stress response. I'm not going to get into the science. It's called the HPA axis. Basically, the frontal part of your brain restricts, shoots the blood to the back part of the brain, shoots the blood to your limbs, your arms and your legs, so that you can do three things: fight, flight, or freeze, so that you can react to the perceived threat outside of you. This is a threat to your safety. The choice to pause, breathe deeply, address stress where it manifests. There are certain tapping points as well that you can use, tapping to calm the amygdala, which is what causes that anger flare-up, spills over to the ugly behavior, causes that threatening posturing, to get back in the castle, pull up the drawbridge, reconnect to God so that you can be still and know that he is sovereign. Psalm 46:10, so that you can be still and hear that small, quiet voice. No, no, no. Wait, wait. This is the way. Walk in it. It's the narrow way. Yes, it's the narrow way. Walk in it. Don't go the wide road. Choose the narrow way. My sheep hear my voice. When you listen, the ramification of that, as we're told in John 10, 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice. They listen when they hear. Hearing and listening are connected here to me. They listen to me, not to the world. They listen to me. When you listen to the world, you'll be thrown into the stress response. Guaranteed, within the next hour, you'll spill out of yourself and be hijacked by a circumstance outside of you. Jesus says, no, no, no. You are my flock. Come closer. Stay by the shepherd. Be still. Listen to me. You will know me then. Then once you know Jesus, and this is what his disciples experienced, then you will follow me. You will listen to me. And that leads to being able to be led by Jesus Christ, that listening. That's the first L, listen. The second letter in the acronym, L-O-L, listen, is obey. To submit, carry out behavior in accordance with God, not the world. The world screams, my brothers and sisters, very loud. The shiny objects are very bright. That's the wide road that leads to death and destruction. Take the narrow way. Obey, obey, obedience. Submit, carry out behavior in accordance with God, for God, by God, through God. We see this acted out by Peter in Luke chapter 5, 4 through 7, when Jesus encounters Peter for the first time. Now, he's not buying in yet. Peter's still fishing in the world. He's still going for the exterior world. Are you still going for the exterior world? The positionality, the approval? Have you spilled out of yourself? Have you been hijacked? Peter was still living for the world, the concrete things that he could see, feel, touch outside of him. Jesus was calling him inside. And when we start in verse 4, Jesus said to Peter, Simon at the time, even changed his name, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. It's a different kind of catch, because this is a transitional catch. And Jesus is saying, inviting us to do the same thing. Simon replied, Master. Now, Simon's working from reason right now. That's the mind. That's the 2 inches. When you study the energy of thought versus the energy of the heart, which there's a science to it, when you are in your mind, it's actually clocked by something called an electromagnetic encephalogram. It will clock the energy when you are thinking, needing to understand why things happen as they do, needing to know how things are going to turn out. Your need to know. This is the reason. Whenever a human being needs to analyze, interpret, or conclude, this energy only goes out 2 inches. That's science. That's how far they've clocked the energy of the mind. It's 2 inches restriction. Now, when people are in their heart, which Jesus' invitation to Simon here is to move that 14 inches, biggest journey from the head to the heart, that energy has actually been clocked to go over the length of a football field and beyond. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's the pause. That's when evil takes center stage. That's you getting off the stage as quickly as possible and uniting your heart to Christ on your knees. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? So Jesus says to Peter here, Master, or Peter says, Master, listen, this is his reason. He's in the 2 inches of his mind versus the 10 feet beyond of his heart. Hey, listen, I've worked hard all night. This is reason. So what's your reason today? You can fill this in. Hey, listen, Jesus, this doesn't make sense to me. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Peter says, Master, I worked hard all night long and I caught nothing. So he's going through the data that he's seeing through his eyes, right? I didn't catch anything. But this is where the obedience comes in. And bring your complaints, your worries, your anxieties, your fear before Jesus. Be real. That's the first step in a 12-step program that's been very successful, is ruthless, authentic, vulnerable honesty. This is the deal. This is what I'm really feeling right now. And you cast it into the lap of Christ. But at your word, I will, at your word, even though this, and what is that for you today, listener? Even though this, and this is what I've seen, experienced, and I'm going through, but because you say so, I will do this. And this is the second letter in LOL, listen, obey, but I'll lower my nets. And as a result of his obedience, he had a catch of his life. When he did this, he caught a great number of fish, so much so the nets couldn't even hold it. So they signaled to their partners, guys, you got to help me out. This is the biggest catch I've ever had in my life. What was the ramification? Peter fell to his knees. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I know nothing. You know everything. And this is that transition that happens in authentic, humble obedience. Hit your knees, my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are being tormented by anger and fear, the posturing response is led by Peter. Hit your knees and listen. The third is the third L, L-O-L. So we have, this is again, the three-step behavioral response when evil takes the stage. Listen, obey, and the third is love. This is the third of love. Love is the ramification of listening and obeying. Love in action is listening and obeying. Listen, obey, and love. Overcome evil with good. Love. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus says, no one is good but God alone. So when you see good in the scriptures, good is God. God is good. God is good. In the midst of evil, God is good. We forget that though, because the shiny objects are all around us. We'll pick up a trinket like Gollum in the cave in Lord of the Rings. We'll be in that cave clinging to that ring. And you hear that quiet, still voice. Are you done yet? It's time. Put out your nets again. From the positionality, the posturing, the faith in love, that you overcome evil with good. You overcome evil with God. God is love. No one is good but God alone. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil in Romans 12, 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. What does that mean? Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Cling to God. God is good. God is good. Cling to good when evil is taking center stage. How do you do that? Posturing on your knees. Dear God, I want to listen. How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to say? What does this look like for me? And the question for you today and for me, as you reflect on listening, being still and knowing that he is God, knowing that you're his sheep, to hear his voice, to listen, then you will know him, and you'll be moved to follow him once you encounter the love of Christ. Listen, obey, even though the reason, the 2 inches of your conscious mind, Jesus is taking you deeper so that your impact is greater. The narrow road has a greater impact that goes beyond what eye can see, ear can hear, and heart can even comprehend in this world. Why? Because it travels into eternity. Eternity now, the kingdom of God now. This is what Jesus can always see. If you can't see and your options are limited, which stress increases when your available options are limited, Jesus expands your options. He catapults you to the frontal cortex of the brain, which the primal brain, no shocker there, is located at the back part, which is the fight, flight, freeze response. The frontal part, which is the vision part, where options increase. The Holy Spirit leads you there when you listen, allows you to obey, and then guides you into love. L-O-L. When you see that, remember, listen, obey, love. Which area is the hardest for you? Listening, obeying, or loving? So Judy, I'm going to turn this over to you because we had this conversation. I was going to set this up. You're going to have that conversation about Second Chronicles when Solomon was, God appeared to Solomon and said, ask whatever you want. And then you flip to the New Testament. What do you want me to do for you? And also share what we were discussing as well when I posed that question before we jumped on. Which is the hardest area?
I just think that it's hard to look at LOL separately in that listening from a coaching perspective is defined as the conscious effort to hear. So that would suggest that there's always work to do and that listening is a decision and it's a conscious decision and it takes some effort to choose to listen. So it makes me wonder sometimes of whether we want to hear from God. We would, of course, say always, of course, I want to hear from God. But to be still and know, to be still and know, that the great I am is speaking. When you choose to listen and really hear, then obedience, I think, becomes more automatic. You know, it's when you are interpreting and trying to make what he said what you wanted to hear that makes obedience a bit more tricky. But really, if you are really hearing from the Lord and you know it's from him, as we were speaking about, my sheep know my voice, then your provocation is more toward obedience. And as grown-ups, we just don't like being told what to do.
Heck yeah.
And so as a result of that, it gets in the way of really everything, even our relationship with the Lord. That, of course, we want to hear from him. He loves us most and he knows us best. And still. So I think we would all have to admit that we have some work to do in each area because, as you so beautifully explained, one flows into the next and then to the next. It's hard to get to love if you haven't listened for his voice because then you can misconstrue what love is, and he is love, and he's always about love without exception. And we can't twist that around, but we are just so entwined, you know. If even if we look at Mark 10, about verse 35, 37, around that. Because the kingdom of God and that type of living comes from the heart with love and in trust, more than through this external code of ethics. So often, like we were talking about, this is just a constant battle. Hmm. It's a constant battle of what the world is telling us we must do to be anybody. We must do. And that voice screams louder than being still and knowing and hearing what the voice of the Lord is saying to you, and even the ramifications of when you are not obedient to that voice. Mm. Yet we struggle. And I don't know about you or some of the folks listening, but the first lie that we hear is that that wasn't really God.
That's very true.
You know?
It's that discernment.
Yes.
Whose voice am I listening to?
Yes.
And I was going to share a story real quick.
Please.
Because this has to do with the sense of obedience. It's about my dad.
Yes.
And my dad, just to give you a little history, back in 1968, he made a choice. And he could have gone one way, and yet he felt that God was calling him to go another way. His father, my grandfather, was the president of the Hearst Corporation. And he could have easily gone that route and jumped into working in some capacity for Hearst. That would have been an easy route. That would have been a broad road for him to travel. He still would have had to show up in certain ways. And yet he felt a calling on his life to go in a much different direction. Now, remember, this was back in 1968, and my dad was moved by what he saw with Detroit riots, so much so that he got on his knees and he literally was moved to take action. And he felt that God was calling him to go in a very specific way. So he stepped out and established in 1968 the nation's only interracially owned and staffed company, Equal Opportunity Publications. He co-founded it with Al Duckett, who actually collaborated with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King on the I Have a Dream speech. And my dad felt moved to do something positive, something that was in a spirit of love from the heart, to create unity, to create that sense of equal opportunity, and to realize we're all in this together, and actually taking behavioral steps to create a platform to at least start moving in a positive direction when it comes to making that more of a reality today than yesterday. Back in 1968, he was actually on the Barbara Walters show as well, because people were like, whoa, look at this. This is the first, which is even crazy for me to say this, Judy. Yeah. It was the first interracially owned staffed company. Mm-hmm. The nation's first interracially owned and staffed company. And it's been 50 years. He's Equal Opportunity Publications has been dedicated to that original mission. And he obeyed God's voice versus the easy path he could have gone, because my grandfather, you know, with the Hearst Corporation, he was running it. He could have easily gone that direction and chose a different way because of obedience.
I love that story so much. Mm. And it brings up that God is going to always ask us to do something that I think in the majority of the time, if not all the time, is going to be difficult. It's going to be the opposite way of the natural way you would think.
Yep, absolutely.
And so it's always going to require courage on your part. Mm-hmm. It's going to require trust in him. It's going to require obedience for love.
That's exactly
you right. Have got to know that anything he puts in motion is going to be exceedingly and abundantly above anything you could imagine or think. This is not to say that you're not to imagine or think, but when you hear God interrupt those plans, shift.
It's so powerful, Judy, because I'm having a flashback to when I was really little, because I was born in 1967. And I remember, you know, early 70s, just my dad would come home with just all these flyers. You know, we didn't have the internet and just fax it, or we didn't even have faxes. So it was just paper. And so we just had stacks of these flyers to just send out to hundreds and hundreds of people. And there was three of us at the time, and my brother came along, there was four. And I remember we were all as a family in a big circle with little sponges, and we just kept, you know, one envelope after the next. And it was just, you know, who could get the biggest stack of envelopes to just send out to the world? No, this is a different way. This is a different way. And God's way, when you say yes to any mission he places upon your heart, know this, this is the discernment process, that when you have peace about it, and my dad had peace about this when I talked to him about it, it was such profound peace. And it was, he was along for the ride, as he shared with me before. And he also did it for those who were physically challenged in any way. He was along for the ride, but the end result was love in the world. Jesus, Judy sent me the most powerful sermon from Ravi Zacharias, who recently went to be with the Lord. And the one thing I took from this was that he and Ravi mentioned this, that there is one place where evil, justice, love, and forgiveness coincided. One place on a hill in Calvary, where evil, justice, love, and forgiveness crashed into each other for a greater good. And love and forgiveness is the archway, my brothers and sisters. Love and forgiveness is the archway through which justice occurred on the cross. Love held him to the cross and allowed him to say, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they're doing." He breathed his last, and justice was set forth to the ends of the earth. Don't fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one that has the power to throw you into Gehenna. Overcome evil with that love, forgiveness. Justice will reign. Trust in God's justice. Ask God, what part do you want me to play? If any, what part do you want me to play today? Love, forgiveness, justice leads to overcoming evil. That was so powerful, Judy. I so appreciated that message. I wept when I listened to it.
It just really speaks our language of today. Mm. And you and I also talked about that we're just so afraid that we're going to lose who we see ourselves as being, or who we think we are, when we're being obedient. It's really humorous. I can remember several things I read and listened to that, you know, where people would say, you know, if I listen to God, he's going to send me into the mission field. And we have this big dramatic thing that we think that God is always going to require of us. Hmm. And I picture him cracking up.
Absolutely.
Silly little kids. You know, I made them. I know them. I know their gifts. I know their talents. I know how to use what they have for my glory. And yes, it could be in the mission field, but most times it's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we come up with these excuses, you know, as we discussed, of accountability or lack thereof, a true outcome of sorts, we call it in coaching, which is when you say something to yourself over and over and over and over and over again, and then it becomes the truth, even when it is not. Mm-hmm. Because we can talk ourselves into thinking that something is the absolute truth, particularly when fear is at the base of it. And we know that that kind of fear does not come from God. He doesn't give us that spirit.
Well, Satan's leer.
Yes.
God really say that? Did God really say that? Did God really say that? You don't, that you can't eat of this tree? And then again to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. So it's planting that doubt, that little seed of doubt. Well, no, that's not fair. I need to do something about it. Does God want you to do something? If so, what? And is it in love? And do you have peace? That's that discernment piece. When you're discerning an action, do you have peace? Will it spread more love, or will it retract? God is always good. Always good. Overcome evil with good, with God. God is love. So when you have that love and you have that peace, that's that forward action step to override it. To speak back into that sense of accountability, don't use, and I speak to myself as well often on this, don't use your anger or fear as an excuse for not being accountable to God. I'm so angry. I'm so afraid. So this is what I'm going to do. And that behavior, the ramification of the behavior that flows directly from anger and fear, retracts from love, retracts from forgiveness, retracts actually from justice, and evil wins. So it's a recalibration. The Holy Spirit is all about constant resurrections. Resurrect within me understanding. How do you want me to see this situation, Lord? I can't tell you how many times, Judy, I feel that I need to defend God. And so this isn't fair, so I need to protect God, and I'll put on my black belt and I'll literally jump in the ring and I'll feel like I have to defend God. Me as a little human being and jumping in. And it's interesting, the posturing, when you look at Peter, and also when you flip to First Chronicles and take a look at First Chronicles 1, the posturing of Solomon, when God posed the question in verse 7, ask whatever, what do you want? Ask what shall I give to you? He asks Solomon, what do you want? What do you want today to be able to experience more love? That's what we really want. More love. At the core of it, it's love that is eternal. And God asked Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon responded to God, you've shown great loving kindness and mercy to my father David and have made me king in his place. Are we grateful for where God has placed us? That he was first and foremost, the response to that was gratitude.
Yes.
Where God has placed you today. Gratitude. Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over people as numerous as the dust of the earth. This is his ask. Give me wisdom. I want wisdom. I want knowledge so that I may go out and come in.
And you know, at the base, at the source of this is our heart. Mm. And there is much work to be done in our hearts.
Yes.
Because out of the hearts of men come the issues of life, you know. And so our heart is often not able to discern. And our soul reacts to things instead of responding to things, or instead of really questioning ourselves, as you were speaking about earlier, to say, you know, Lord, is this you going back to him? I once heard a speaker use the word scooch that I love. Scooch close to him.
Or you said the other day, I need to squat with God. That is
it's
so true.
Just recognizing that we can't function well without him. We have to do that daily to remind ourselves, because the world is speaking so loudly, so loudly, and that we have to keep choosing to listen. We have to fight to listen. You know, when things are loud, you have to fight to discern and sort out what is being said and choose to understand in the midst of so much noise. So even as we often make an attempt to be still with the Lord, I know you've experienced, I have, where your mind just floods with everything else as you're trying to still yourself. Be still literally and have the confidence in knowing that he is, and he's right there, never leaves us nor forsakes us, you know, is willing to go before us so that we can be obedient. He's going to walk with us through it in our obedience. There is nothing to fear, and we can love. We don't lose anything by loving. We gain everything by loving. I just don't know who we think we are that we can live an abundant life with.
Right, you just cut out there. Can you hear me? Living that abundant life with who we are. Are you still there, Judy? That abundant life is also...
I am.
Okay, you're there. So who we think we are, you cut out right at who we think we are, in order to be able to live that abundant life.
We just have to choose love, mm-hmm, always. Mm-hmm. We just have to choose love always. And we can't get around it. Mm-hmm. We work very hard sometimes to get around it, but we can't.
It's so interesting. And it's the one thing that sets us free. And yet we struggle, we kick, we scream, we stay in our positionality. We think that someone's going to take something from us. We get even more adamant on being right, liked, understood. And yet it's that surrender piece that Jesus so brilliantly wove into his sermons, into his invitations to people. And it's interesting to me, too, that Solomon here, the king, had everything in the world, and yet he asked God for wisdom and knowledge so that he could guide the people entrusted to his care. Now, God's response to that was, because this was in your heart, not your mind, in your heart. And you did not ask for riches, possessions, honor, personal glory, or the life of those who hate you. Nor have you even asked for a long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself so that you could guide the people entrusted to your care. I will give you wisdom and knowledge. That's yours. And I'll also give you riches, possession, and honor. This is a profound invitation in First Chronicles, particularly during this time. What do you want from God? And Judy, let's end with that.
Yes.
Encounter. I think that this would be a great time to bring that in.
And you, I am going to apologize for, we start off with very pure technology and now we're going in and out. You said let's end with.
Yeah, let's end with the verses from Matthew 10:51. 10:51, where Jesus encounters the blind man. And he encounters the blind man and he asks him. There we go.
Yes.
Flipping to the New Testament.
Yes. He he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Mm-hmm. And it might seem like a ridiculous question to ask a blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And if we meditate on that a bit, you know, God is really always looking at our level of faith and how we're going to choose to use our healing, whether we're choosing to use it for his purposes and his glory. And so he's always asking us, you know, what do you want me to do for you? And I think that we have to really think about that, because as you and I talk about often, if Jesus stopped by and just asked that simple question, do you have an answer that gives him the glory? You know, often, I even know my own first response was, you know, to be relieved of some weight, to just have some things lifted from me. And then after thinking about it longer and further, that wisdom and knowledge is the key to everything.
Yes, it is. Wisdom and knowledge.
Yes.
Listener, how would you respond to that question today if Jesus came by? Or just as God posed that question to Solomon, what do you want? What would be the ultimate thing that you would want? How do you want the Lord to heal your mind, your perspectives, your perceptions, that you would imagine would result in more peace and more love? As you lean into that question, formulate your response, focusing on, I want more peace and love. So what would the question be? What would you want to release, be healed from? Want to step into? Want to remember as your screensaver about your identity moving forward? Or simple understanding. The lack of understanding leads to fear. Fear fuels anger. Anger, when repressed, leads to depression. Jesus desires to set you free today. What would that look like for you? As you reflect on LOL, listen, obey, and love. Listen, obey, and love. Taking those three behavioral responses when evil is taking the center stage in your life, what specific space can Jesus step into? Have that conversation with him. And then surrender and trust that the one who calls you to listening, the one who calls you to obey and to obedience to him, to his ways, and the one who calls you to love is faithful. And he will do it. Dear Lord, remind my mind that you will do it. When we ask, as St. Paul says, for the things that God desires to give us, that can even be part of our prayer. Teach me how to pray, Lord. I don't even know how to pray about this. What are the words? I don't even know what to ask for. What do you want me to ask for that's aligned with what you desire for me to have, knowing that this will lead to more love and peace? That's a different take, huh?
Yes.
Judy, why don't you close us and it was some just some closing thoughts, and if you would lead the end prayer, that would be wonderful.
Yes. My thoughts are fight for it. I listened to something this morning that God has granted us a new day, a new opportunity, full of a brand new set of mercies. And in the midst of that, he deserves our highest praise. When he's speaking, we want to listen and to be obedient to him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so as we listen to him and fight to hear him and be obedient to what he says, the only thing that can come out of that is love. Because it started with him and it will end with him. And so right now, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you humble, humble, humble. There's so much going on right now in the world, yet you are speaking. You have reset our lives in such a way that we have this opportunity to pause and calm down the noise and hear your voice. Lord, you're calling us for greater, for bigger, to get out of ourselves and be concerned about the world because you are at hand. And at the end of the day, our job is to see to it that as many people as possible are introduced to who you are. Love, love, love. You have commanded us to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, to love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord. You've commanded us to do that. Lord, give us ears that are willing to listen. Help us to make the effort to listen, to fight for it, the conscious effort to hear. And as we hear your glorious voice, help us to have a hunger and thirst to be obedient to only you, even when it's hard. Suffering is often a part of it, even when it's hard. Help us to follow what you're asking us to do. Lord, help us to choose to love more every day. Help us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. When evil creeps up in our hearts, when our hearts seem to harden, Lord, help us to cry out and plead to you. Deliver us from evil. Harden not our hearts, but let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, and you as only the criteria. Lord, we love you. We trust you. And it's in the name of your precious son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Let's go give him heaven. There's enough of hell out there. Let's go give him heaven. Wow, yes. That's so powerful. Judy, thank you so much for your presence today. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. Perhaps you will never look at LOL the same. Now moving forward, easily and naturally, to listen, to obey, to love, more today than yesterday. And may God bless you for your choice to listen, obey, and experience the fruits of those choice points and your dedication for more love. when I was going through advanced cancer and the doctors told me I only had 5 years to live in 2006, I remember contemplating my own death. And the one thought or the one question that came up in my mind when I was very close at different times is, how well did I love? Nothing else. How well did I love God, myself, the people entrusted to my care? Because that's what I get to take with me beyond the pine box. And you do too, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's love that won on Calvary, that unleashed justice beyond what we can comprehend and made forgiveness possible and our salvation as a result. So give them heaven today, more today than yesterday. Thank you for joining us at Edge God Inn. And if you're interested in more podcasts and lessons, please visit us at edgegodinn.com. Have a blessed day and give them heaven. We'll talk to you soon.